From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, in a state that has just restored the death penalty, how do you build an execution chamber?
But first, a stunning turn of events at Guantanamo. The former chief prosecutor there has decided to testify on behalf of one of the defendants, Salim Ahmed Hamdan. That's Osama bin Laden's former driver. Air Force Colonel Morris Davis joins me now. Welcome back to Day to Day.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, you resigned as chief prosecutor last fall, and you have said you think the prosecution of the Guantanamo prisoners is flawed because it has become politicized. Why did you decide to go another step and actually testify on behalf of one of the defendants, Hamdan?
What I've agreed to do is to tell the truth, which I've offered to do a number of times, and it seems that some folks are violently opposed to me telling the truth. So if whether it's for the prosecution, defense, or before a congressional hearing, I intend to tell the truth.
What is that truth?
The truth is that Congress gave us what I view as a very fair piece of legislation, the Military Commissions Act, that gives us the ability to have full, fair, and open trials. But you have some political appointees who just frankly don't trust people in uniform. They view that, you know, if you wear a uniform, obviously you must be not that bright, or you'd be out in the real world making real money, and so they have to control the process. And that's where I think this political influence in the process is taking justice out of the military justice system.
And specifically, what do you mean by political interference?
Well, I think, as you probably know, Jim Haynes is the DOD general counsel. When I first took the job as chief prosecutor, the general counsel didn't have a formal role in the chain of command over the prosecution. But that changed in October last fall. The day I resigned was the day that Deputy Secretary of Defense Gordon England signed a memorandum that placed the general counsel in a command position above me. If you followed Mr. Haynes, the general counsel, you know that he was one of the architects of the, you know, what became known as the torture policy and the torture memorandum that said waterboarding is a lawful technique to use on the detainees, which I wholeheartedly disagree with. And also, when I had my interview for the chief prosecutor job, that's where he made the statement that we can't have acquittals, we've got to have convictions. You know, at the time, that was just his opinion, but in October of last year, he, you know, went into a, you know, where he had command authority over the prosecution, a person who said we can't have acquittals and waterboarding's okay, and that's when I decided it was time to quit.
When he said we can't have acquittals, we've got to have convictions, couldn't that be interpreted as something along the lines of just rallying the troops, rallying the prosecutors to prosecute these cases vigorously?
Yeah, it could, and that's the way I took it. At the time the statement was made, as I said, Mr. Haynes and the general counsel's office did not have a formal place in the chain of command over the prosecution. But as I said, in October, you know, he had a then had a formal role, a command position over the prosecution where he can, his opinions are no longer opinions, they're orders.
So you are going to testify for the defense, for Hamdan's defense. What exactly will you testify to?
That's one thing I've made clear to the defense is, you know, I'm more than happy to talk about my views of where I think the process has gotten off the tracks and it's no longer going to be a full, fair, and open trial. But my concerns about the process certainly don't translate into a view that their clients are innocent or they should be excused for their conduct. I mean, if you take Mr. Hamdan, for instance, he was captured with two surface-to-air missiles in his car. And in Afghanistan at that time, the only thing flying were geese and us. So I have no sympathy for Mr. Hamdan. But I do think he's entitled to a fair trial that's free of political influence.
What do you think about the 80 or so men who are going to face these trials? Do you think that they will, each one of them will not get a fair trial?
Well, I think that, as I said, I think the folks in uniform, the judges, the counsel, and the members that will sit on the jury, I think you'll find that they're going to think for themselves. So I think the uniform folks are going to do their best to do justice. But my concern is you have some political appointees that you know, have a vested interest in trying to make sure that we achieve a certain outcome. And in my view, they need to be removed from this process. If it's a military commission, the military ought to be running it, not political appointees.
You were forbidden to testify before Senator Feinstein's committee, yet you have been free by the military to speak to the media about this. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the characterization of free to speak by the military, I think by and large, folks in uniform, I don't think have a problem with what I'm saying. There are a few folks, a few political appointees, I think, are probably extremely upset with what I'm saying. But I think the military as a whole, I think, is concerned about doing justice and doing what's right and upholding American values and not trying to rig a system. So I think there are a couple of people that are probably real upset, but they don't have command authority over me. And the folks that do have told me that as long as I tell the truth and I'm not breaking the law, that I can say what I feel like I need to say.
What do you think of the Bush administration's announcement that it will prosecute six men, six of the worst of the worst, they call them, for the 9/11 terrorist attacks, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised. As I've stated before, there is some impetus to get these cases moving and to get some momentum. There was a fear that if some progress wasn't made, that this whole process was going to implode. And this administration's coming to an end. There will be a new administration coming in less than a year. And if you couldn't get this thing up and running, that it was just going to collapse of its own weight. And certainly getting some cases into the system, and particularly cases like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and energizing the families of the victims of 9/11 and getting them energized and engaged in this process, I think the view is that'll get some momentum behind this and make it hard to stop.
So it sounds like you don't think these six men will receive a fair trial.
Well, I have serious concerns. I mean, my commitment was to conduct full, fair, and open trials, and I think we may go 0 for 3 on full, fair, and open.
Well, Colonel Davis, thank you very much for speaking with me again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Colonel Morris Davis is director of the Air Force Judiciary, and we've been speaking to him about his decision to testify on behalf of one of the Guantanamo Bay prisoners, Salim Ahmed Hamdan. Joining me now is Brigadier General Thomas Hartman. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Madeline.
Colonel Morris Davis is complaining that the process at Guantanamo to try these defendants, to try the prisoners there, is hopelessly politically tainted. What do you say to that?
I say that he's wrong. The process is, in so many ways, the essence of American justice. The protections for the accused are, frankly, protections that exceed those that were available at Nuremberg, those that are available in the more recent times in connection with other international tribunals. We give them, the accused in these cases, virtually the same rights that we give our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, with slight adjustments. That's quite an indication of the strength of the American judicial system and our willingness to make these trials fair and just.
Well, he's saying they're not fair and just because you'll be using evidence gathered during waterboarding, which he considers torture and should not be admissible. He says they're not going to be open in terms of classified material not being shared with the defense, and that they won't be free, in essence.
Well, Colonel Davis was part of the process for 2 years. In that two-year period, he was able to get two cases sworn and charged. In the period of time since he's left, just 4 months, we've charged 10 new cases. The trials will be fair. We've had more than 120 members of the press down there to Guantanamo Bay to witness this. We've had the United Nations observers. We've had non-governmental organizations, the ACLU, the Human Rights Watch, Human Rights First. And if anybody should know the rules of evidence and the rules of procedure, Colonel Davis should know them. They are extremely broad, extremely generous, and they in many ways match the military justice system that we've had for more than 50 years in place. And they're quite similar to the Article III courts in the United States. And they are far in excess of the rights in terms of evidence openness that are available in other international tribunals.
Now, Colonel Davis is also accusing the Pentagon General Counsel, William Haines, of pushing for convictions, despite any perhaps contradicting evidence, saying, quote, we can't have acquittals, we've got to have convictions.
Well, any prosecutor, and Colonel Davis was the chief prosecutor, so the chief prosecutor's duty is to bring justice, but the chief prosecutor's focus is on getting evidence together to achieve a beyond a reasonable doubt standard. So a prosecutor strives for convictions within the system, achieving justice. However, he can anticipate some acquittals if he's trying hard cases. If you have a prosecutor who hasn't had an acquittal, he has never tried a hard case.
Do you think that any evidence gathered during the process of waterboarding should be admitted?
What I think is what I will say, and Colonel Davis was a part of this for the 2 years, and that was setting up the military commissions. The military commissions very much match the Uniform Code of Military Justice system we have. They have a uniformed defense counsel and several defense counsel in addition to uniformed people. They have the prosecutors, and they have a judge. Those issues will be decided in the courtroom. And very consistent with the American system of justice, where evidence is presented by the prosecution, challenged by the defense, cross-examination, confrontation, witnesses in front of the judge, and the judge makes a decision with finality. That's the American system of justice. That's the system we have with these military commissions, with the military court-martial process, with the Article III courts in the United States that we see every day. There's nothing different about that. It's a standard of justice, and it's an honorable system of justice. We should all be very proud of that system.
And so there is no political interference as far as you're concerned?
Not only as far as I'm concerned, absolutely not. I've been in this job 7 months. And as I said, Colonel Davis was able to bring three cases to trial in 2 years, and in in the last 4 months since Colonel Davis has been gone, we have moved 10 cases. That's not from political pressure. There is none. It's from me insisting that we move the process.
What do you think of his decision to testify on behalf of Mr. Hamdan?
He's certainly free to testify on behalf of anyone he wants to. That's the American system of justice. If the defense needs a witness, in this case, it's another indication of the rights in this case. The defense can call anyone that's of material and relevant to the case, and and Colonel Davis is one of those people that they think that is material and relevant to their case. So if the judge concurs and that's the way it goes, then we're happy to listen to Colonel Davis in the courtroom.
That's Brigadier General Thomas Hartman. He is the legal advisor to the convening authority in the Pentagon's Office of Military Commissions.